Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. In this commandment, the ninth commandment, God forbids his people, God forbids you, God forbids me from being a false witness. So what does that mean? What exactly is a false witness if we're not to be one? What is it? Well, let's first look at the word witness. A witness points to something beyond itself. A witness testifies. In a court of law, in a legal proceeding, a witness points to an event or a series of events that occurred in the past. So the command is saying, don't testify against your neighbor in a way that is false. Don't point to something in your neighbor's life that is untrue, incorrect, wrong. In other words, don't lie about your neighbor. Now, the immediate context of this commandment is a court of law. In that situation, this command governs the legal testimony that someone gives in a trial. So God forbids and God condemns anyone who lies against a person accused of a crime. In the ancient world, and even today, this can be a matter of life or death. In most cultures of the ancient world, those charged with the crime had little protection. They were not innocent until proven guilty, but guilty until proven innocent. And in many cases, they could not make a defense. Now, since this was before forensic science, fingerprints, and DNA, evidence was based solely on eyewitnesses. Often, an accused person could be condemned by the testimony of a single witness. One person's word could condemn you to death. And as you can imagine, such a system was greatly abused. Well, in God's wisdom, trials were different in Israel. God's people had a different set of standards. When a member of the community was placed on trial, he came before a jury of elders, and there had to be more than one witness. There could not be just one witness. Now listen to God's law. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall a charge be established. According to God's law, no one could be put to death by the testimony of one single witness. This was a check and balance that God placed in the legal system of his people. This was a check and balance to prevent abuse and corruption. This was a check and balance to help uphold justice. A check and balance because God knows people. He knows our hearts, our sinful hearts. But even with this wise safeguard, God wanted truth. This was the heart of the matter, truth. This is the heart of the ninth commandment, truth. God wanted witnesses to speak the truth because there can only be justice through truth. So don't lie. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't speak words that would bring harm upon your neighbor. However, as you well know, a court of law is not the only place where a person can lie. False testimony in a trial is not the only means of lying. There are many ways and means to lie. There are many ways and means to speak untruths, deceptions, falsehoods, fabrications, falsifications, fibs. There are many ways and means to speak words that harm your neighbor, and the ninth commandment covers them all. The ninth commandment forbids them all. Now, we've seen this applied in other commandments that we've looked at. What we've seen in our study of the Ten Commandments is that the commandments generally forbid the most severe form of any sin. For example, the most severe form of sexual sin is adultery. The most severe form of hatred is murder. The most severe form of lying is condemning an innocent person of a crime. But we've also seen that the commandments don't stop there. They cover any other sins of the same kind. Adultery is forbidden by the seventh commandment, but so is premarital sex. So is homosexuality. Murder is forbidden by the sixth commandment, but so is any form of violence. Bearing false witness is forbidden in the ninth commandment, but so is any form of falsehood. God does not want you to lie. Now, this includes the big lies, the whoppers, the ones that we tell about our lives or events in our lives. Perhaps these are lies that started out small, but lies often take on a life of their own. You know, as an example, Brian Williams of NBC Nightly News was caught in a lie in 2015. On several occasions, Williams claimed that during the 2003 Iraq invasion, a helicopter that he was flying in as a journalist was shot down. It turns out that that was not the case. Williams was in a helicopter, but his helicopter was not shot down. Williams apologized, but his credibility as a journalist was damaged. He was suspended and he was demoted. Perhaps you have a helicopter story that you tell. Well, lies and falsehoods also include historical lies. For example, the belief in some Islamic circles that the Holocaust never happened. This includes cultural lies. For example, in the 19th century, it was believed to be a scientific fact that blacks were inferior to whites. There are academic lies, lies believed and promoted in the academy, in schools, like the most current lie that has many ripple effects, the belief that there is no absolute truth. There are political lies, lies that we see every day. It's called spin, where it doesn't matter what really happened. What matters is the spin that's put on it. Then there are the little lies, the white lies, the half-truths, the fibs, the little things that aren't completely false, but not completely true. For example, the times that we give a true account, but we leave out certain details to help us look better, to paint ourselves in a more favorable light. Now, several years ago, I completed my second half marathon. Now, I could leave it at that, and hopefully you have an image of me triumphantly crossing the finish line, arms raised in victory over 13 miles. Well, but the truth is, what I left out was that I really shuffled across the finish line. And the only way that I made it the last 2 miles of that race was through the encouragement of runners who kept passing me. Well, a lot of social media posts may fit into this particular category. You know, images of a perfect beach supper out on a deck with sand and water in the background. But what the picture doesn't show is the argument that happened right before everybody sat down to eat. Well, then there are the lies told to harm our neighbor, outright lies to injure someone's reputation and exaggeration of their words or actions to make them look bad, where the motive is to tear down, the motive is to damage. And this includes gossip. And even when gossip is true, the way and manner in which it is told makes it bearing false witness. Why? Because the purpose of gossip is to tear down. The purpose of gossip is to harm. Words used to tear down your neighbor violate the ninth commandment. And all of this points to the power of words. All of this points to the power of our words. And it's a power you can feel. You know how you feel when you verbally give it to someone, when you give them a piece of your mind, when you put them in their place. You know the feeling of power you get when you find out some juicy information on somebody and you just can't wait to share it. You can see the power in a toddler's eyes when they discover the word no. There's power in our words. There's power in our text. There's power in our posts. There's power in the tongue. The book of James in the New Testament has a lot to say about the tongue and its power, about our words and their power. In the book of James, chapter 3 of the book of James, we read this. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. And the tongue is a fire. It can burn and burn out of control. It's a world of unrighteousness. It's full of poison. It can kill. It's a relentless evil. No one can tame it. The tongue has the power to tear down our neighbor. It has the power to harm those around us. And what leaps or slides or oozes out of our tongue originates in the heart. Our words, what we say, what we write, whether we're alone, whether we're with one person, whether we're in a crowd, it comes from our heart. Our words reflect our heart. And if we're honest, to God, honest with ourselves, we might recognize that our words often reflect a heart that seeks to build ourselves up rather than others. If we are truthful, we would recognize that our words often reflect a heart that would tear our neighbor down so that we might be built up, that seeks our own well-being rather than those around us. Our words can reflect a selfish heart, a heart that places ourselves first, a heart that would lie, a heart that would fabricate, deceive, slander, bear false witness in order to do so. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is poison. The tongue is evil. The tongue lies, all because of our heart. All because of our sinful hearts. The ninth commandment points us to this. The ninth commandment is like a mirror to show you your heart, a mirror to show you your sin. God does not want you to bear false witness. God does not want you to lie. God wants you to be a truth teller. As God's people, we are to be people of truth. speaking the truth, loving the truth, standing on the truth, building up one another in the truth. As Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, we are to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. We are to speak the truth in love about ourselves and our own failings, confessing them. We are to speak the truth in love to our neighbor when they need building up. We are to speak the truth in love to our neighbor when we must confront them with sin. We are to speak the truth in love when someone is tearing someone else with their word down, someone else with their words. We are to speak the truth in love when we must stand up for the truth of what we believe. We are to speak the truth in love when our neighbor's name needs defending. We are to speak the truth in love to a decaying culture that is starving for the gospel, starving for truth. The ninth commandment calls us to be truth tellers. This is how God desires us to live. This is a life of love. But there's more. God calls us to truth because it reflects his nature. He calls us to truth because it reflects his character. If you remember way back at the beginning of this series on the Ten Commandments, we observed that the Ten Commandments reflect the heart and character of God himself. In other words, the law, which comes from God, reflects who he is. And the ninth commandment shows us that God is a God of truth. He is the author of truth. He is truth. Our New Testament reading this morning was from the Gospel of John. Listen to the words of Jesus again from that passage, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the truth. Jesus is one with the Father, and he is truth. Jesus is the truth, and he knows the truth about us. He knows the truth about you. He knows the truth about your heart. He knows your selfishness. He knows your lies. He knows your tongue. He knows your sin. Jesus knows that truth, and he opens up your eyes to that truth, our eyes to that truth. He uses his word to open our eyes to the truth. But Jesus also fills us with another truth. Jesus brings to us another truth, the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's amazing love for us, God's amazing love for you, the truth that even though you are a sinner, even though you struggle with selfishness in your heart, even though you break the ninth commandment, Jesus poured out his life for you, died for you. The Son of God died for you. Jesus took upon himself your lying heart. He took upon himself your poison tongue and nailed it with him to the cross. In Jesus Christ, through faith in him, you're forgiven. You have new life. This is grace-filled truth. This is life-changing truth. This is gospel truth. This is the truth of the one who is truth. You are a loved liar, a forgiven liar. And we are called to live in that truth, live as people of the truth, live the ninth commandment. Reflecting the heart of Jesus, truth and love. Only Jesus can tame our tongues. Only in Jesus can we speak the truth in love. Only in Jesus can we love our neighbor through our words. May we bless and honor the Savior. Honor Jesus Christ with our hearts and with our tongues.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.